Let's open up in prayer. Father God, we ask that you just come before us, Lord, and meet with us right now, Lord. Just be with us, Lord, and speak to us. Let us not be distracted, Lord. We ask that you're gathered, Lord, here with us. For your words say that where two or more are gathered in your name, there you'll be also. Lord. We ask that you be with us right now, Lord, and fill us, not only during this time, but also, Lord, throughout the day. In this day, this beautiful, amazing morning, Lord, we lift it up to you, Lord, and we ask that we could be a blessing to you and put a smile on your face, Lord. In your name, amen. So from some time now, my cell phone had been acting up to the point where I want to throw it on the ground, I want to jump on it, I want to take it out to the park, play baseball with it. On top of that, I want to get a bowling ball that I don't care about and smash it. Like, that's how ridiculous my cell phone is. My cell phone would drop calls. Not only would it drop calls, it would turn off when it would want to, especially during an important phone call. Never failed. It would constantly do that. I don't know. There it is. So, sorry. This is my old cell phone. And you can tell, it's pretty old. It's pretty beat up. There's not much features on it. It's pretty ghetto. Scratched up, the dogs chewed it up. It turns off when it wants to, whether I'm talking on it or not. I'll talk for 15 minutes and the battery's dead. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So you can see that this phone is very frustrating and I just want to smash it. Okay? So for some time I've been asking my friends if they had any old cell phones they want to get rid of. Because my friends are always buying new cell phones. It's like every other month they're buying a new cell phone. My gosh, man, must be nice, you know? And so finally that Sunday, after the 11 o'clock service, my buddy hooked me up with this phone, a new phone. It's sweet. It's a flip phone. It's got all kinds of cool features. As a matter of fact, I'm able to take pictures with it. And it's really, really sweet. And one thing about it that I love is the fact that I'm able to do reminders on it. I found this feature that will let me do reminders. I just program it in, set the date, set the time. And when it comes, it's going to let me know that I have something to do, or medication to take, or walking the dog, or whatever it may be. But it's pretty cool. It also has a voice memo, so I could also put my voice and remind myself that way. I'm sorry? It's a Cricket phone. You know, it's pretty sweet. I love it. It's cheap. And if you guys know me, you know that I'm a very forgetful person. I might ask your name and I'll tell you, okay, I'll probably ask you 1,000 more times because I'll more than likely forget it. And Crystal could vouch for me that I'm a very forgetful person. She's known me since 6-7 years now, so she could vouch that I'm very forgetful. And it's sweet. I was thinking about this, and I thank God that he gave us the ability to be reminded and to help people remember stuff. How many times have you guys needed to be reminded to do something? We all do. How often? A lot, every day. Cool. See. Yeah. Every time you've done this, and right. Cool. So I'm sure you guys, this has happened to you. You've been reminded so many times about something that it's annoying. Not only is it annoying for you, but it's also annoying for the person who's reminding you. For example, homework. The parents asking you constantly, did you do your homework? Yeah, I'll do it later. It's not that much. I'm going to play some Xbox, hang out with some friends, go ride my bike. I'll do it before I go to sleep. It'll take me 10 minutes. They ask you again. And before you know it, voices start getting raised and you're just getting grounded. And yeah, it's not very good. And as humans, we tend to forget things. So therefore, we come up with ways and things to remind us. And what are some of you guys' favorite things to use to be reminded? What's up? Mom and Dad? And what else? Your phone? Sweet. What about teachers? Reminding you about homework. What about notes? Take notes, write down notes. And you probably have a calendar. Not nearly like this, but you can see there's a bunch of notes on here. What's going on? For example, Adam Medina's, not mine, the other Adam Medina's birthday, and so forth. We're using all type of different devices to remind us about several different things. And one thing I love to use, but I hate to use, and I hate it and I want to destroy it, is my alarm clock. And it's loud, it's annoying, it wakes me up from good dreams, and makes me wake up when it's really cold and early in the morning. You just plug your ears at night. That wouldn't work for me, because I have to go to work. That wouldn't work with my boss. Hey, I don't like my boss. I don't like my alarm clock, so I plug my ears. And I slept till 12. I know my shift ends at 2, but yeah, I just plugged my ears. I don't like my alarm clock. No, that wouldn't cut. That wouldn't cut it, but that is a good idea. Now, as much as I want to go to the alarm clock, and it's so loud and annoying, I set it up across my apartment. That's how loud and annoying it is. Because I can't have it next to my bed because, yeah, alarm clock would be shattered and holes would be in the wall because I would destroy this alarm clock if it's next to my bed. And so, actually, it has another reminder, even though it's not on right now. I don't know if you guys can see this, but there's all kinds of teeth marks on it. And it reminds me not to leave anything in reach of my dog. This is what will happen if I leave stuff in reach of my dog. Also, he's chewed up my Bible. Okay? And if I didn't have that alarm clock, I'd probably sleep till 11 or 12. So it does its job every single day. And it's not expensive. I paid 10 bucks for it at Walmart like 2.5, 3 years ago or so. Yeah, I've definitely got my money worth. Even my dog's got his money worth out of it. And I was online the other day. And I was checking out all these type of reminder services. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of websites dedicated to reminding people about anything. Taking medication, refilling their medication, walking their dog, feeding their cat, changing the cat litter, meetings, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays. Guys, remember anniversaries and birthdays. Two important dates that you must remember. When you guys get a girlfriend and one day maybe married, if you don't remember the anniversary, run. If you don't remember the birthday, no, don't just run. Like Forrest Gump run. Just run super fast like you've never ran before. And just start running because it's not going to be a pretty picture. And I've forgotten birthdays before and yeah, it's not fun. So, all these websites will remind you on whatever you need to be reminded on. And a lot of them are free. I love things that are free, don't you guys? Yeah, especially food. I love food when it's free. And I found this one website. They would remind you on anything, anytime. Doesn't matter what it could be. It could be the most gruesome task. You could put a reminder, tell it to remind you to unclog the toilet. Yeah, like, it wouldn't care what the reminder was. It was 50 cents a reminder, though. That's not expensive. It's cheap. And I don't know who would pay 50 cents to have something remind them, call their cell phone or text them or drop them an email to remind them. They could just have friends or family or notes or whatever, remind them. And this one, I found another website that blew me away. This thing just rocked my world. And it was specifically designed for wake-up calls. Yeah. And if you guys ever been at a hotel, you know that the phone doesn't really ring really loud. And the phone calls typically Good morning, room 1343. This is your wake-up call. You requested a wake-up call at 6:45 in the morning. This is your wake-up call. It is now time to get up. And thank you for your stay at the Marriott or the Hilton or whatever. But no, that's a basic, plain Jane, average wake-up call. This one, I imagine, was much more elaborate, and I couldn't afford it because that's how expensive it was. I couldn't afford to see how this would work out. But the basic wake-up call was $20. Yeah, ridiculous. $20 to have a computer or a person call you and tell you to get up. But it didn't stop there. That was a cheap one. The next upgrade version of that was $30. Wake you up. Call your phone one time and tell you to get up. Yeah. One time is $20. Hold on. And wait. It doesn't go to 20 or 30. But the top notch, the ultimate, out of control, ridiculous wake-up call was $50. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, you got to be kidding me. I wish I could afford to see what this is like. And it didn't give me no details on what would happen if I would have a marching band outside my door playing full loudly or what would happen. But $50 for a wake-up call. Now, how would you guys feel if you paid that $50 and you didn't hear your phone ring? Yeah. Or what about they call your cell phone and throughout the night you forgot to charge it and it dies? Or they call your house phone and there's a storm in the night and all the power's down. Not just your house, but like a whole mile block. Square mile. Whole square mile. Power's down. You just wasted $50 for nothing. When you could have called a friend and had them wake you up for free. Or you could went to Walmart, bought 5 alarm clocks, and lasted you years for $50. And the cool thing about those, if the power goes out, you got to stop for batteries. So it's sweet. But yeah, it takes batteries as well. If I had batteries in there, it'd be on right now. But one of my favorite reminders is my stomach. It reminds me that I need to eat all the time. And we all know the feeling. And so forth, okay? So, it lets me know that we need to eat so that we don't starve to death, that we feed our body, that we become strengthened, that we grow, and so forth, okay? So we see as humans, we need reminders. And God reminds us daily with stuff like this. Look at that beautiful picture. Sweet, sweet. Cool, so that's why I've entitled this message, A Reminder, Wake Up. Let's get into our text. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Do you guys not have Bibles? Sorry. 2 Peter, chapter 1. In the meantime, who wants donuts? I'm hungry. I'll tell you what, I'll start here. Pass just take a few for now. A few. There's a bunch. So, they're munchkin donuts. Yeah. Cool. All right. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let's not be too distracted with the donuts getting passed around. Okay. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Let's get into our text. It's verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right. As long as I'm in this tent, stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So in verse 12, we notice several things right away in the first three words. For this reason. What's the reason? It's the first 11 verses, saying that we need to add to our faith, that we need to grow. If we don't grow and we don't add to our faith, we're not going to become strong, and we're going to be weak, and eventually we're going to die and become blind and go back into the ways of the world. And another reason is the theme of 2 Peter. Remember this theme, poison in the pew. Yeah, that's the theme of 2 Peter. In other words, it's poison in the church. And it's not this cute little bottle of poison you see on the cartoons with the skull and the crossbones and the two X's saying poison. It's not the poison that you would use to kill cockroaches or ants or spiders or rats. No, it's the spiritual poison, heresy, heretics. And that comes in all types of religions and so forth. Buddhists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, it goes on and on. Okay? And he's saying that though you know and are established in the present truth, he's bringing it back to our minds, saying, hey, I know you guys know this, and you're established. Remember what Jesus said in John 8. Jesus was talking to the Jews, and Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So they know this. The truth has set us free because we know the word and Jesus and what Jesus did and how he defeated death and rose again on the third day. So it set us free. And he's saying that we're established in the present truth. Remember what Jesus was saying. Turn with me to Luke 6 real quick. I'll show you how we're established. Luke 6, verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So we're established on this rock. Jesus Christ is our rock. He's our chief. He's the chief cornerstone. He's our strong tower, our fortress. And the more we add, the more we grow, the more we know, the more established we become on that rock, the stronger we're going to be, the stronger the foundation. The less likely when we come against trials and temptations and struggles and difficulties, the less likely we're going to fall and become destroyed and back into the ways of the world. So that's why we must add to our faith. We must grow every single day. I'm going to challenge you guys this week to read a chapter a day. From this Sunday to next Sunday, read a chapter a day. Do James. It's 5 chapters long. And it gives you 2 extra days to go back and read the whole book again. Cool? Is that a good challenge? James. If you get, try making time for it, okay? And see, Peter is saying that not only Christians need to be reminded, but everybody needs to be reminded. We all have a sin nature. We all forget things. But Peter's saying, hey guys, it doesn't matter if you're Christians or not, but it's easier for Christians to slack off and not grow and not walk with the Lord than it is for a person who doesn't know the Lord. It's much easier. I'm sure every day, instead of going to school, we would rather play Xbox and ride our bikes and hang out with our friends all day long, watch TV, and do nothing. I'm sure of it. I would love to do that all day long, but unfortunately, we can't. We got to go to school. We got to get stuff done. Okay? In verse 13, Peter's saying, yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Peter's saying it would be wrong not to remind you. I would feel so guilty if I didn't remind you. And the tent he's referring to is the body, is the temple. And I love the fact that he refers to his body as a tent. And no, it's not your Walmart tent. It's not your Kmart tent that you can take home, set it up in the backyard, invite friends over, have the parents hook you up with some s'mores, have a good time, enjoy the tent, enjoy your friends. Now, the tent is only temporary, right? If we've all gone camping, we know that eventually we got to break down the tent and we got to go back home into the comforts of home. And he's saying that our body is like a tent. We're here temporary. And my house is in heaven. I want to go back home. I'm about to go back home. And he gives us this, he paints this amazing picture of just how temporary our life is, and that we desire, as Christians, we desire to go back home, to the comforts of home. And Peter refers that Paul also referred to his body as a tent back in 2 Corinthians. Now, Peter is also urging the readers at this point to show a godly character, to live godly, to grow, so they don't slip back, so that they don't stumble and become ruined like that house that's just demolished, smashed, nothing, dust. In verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Remember, Peter is aware that his death is near. He's recalling the fact that Jesus had prophesied and told him that by what death he's going to glorify God. We read about that in John 21, when Jesus restores Peter, and he's resurrected and meets the disciples on the Sea of Galilee on the seashore, and Jesus is cooking them breakfast, fish and unleavened bread. Okay, and watch, listen to what Jesus says in John 21. It's so awesome. John 21:18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you're younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he, Peter, would glorify God. And when he, Jesus, had spoken this, he said to him, Peter, follow me. And Peter did this. He followed Christ. Well after Jesus had ascended back into heaven. Okay. In verse 15, we're going to go ahead and close it up. Verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So Peter accomplishes this in several ways. He writes down this letter to the Christians, not a specific type of group of Christians, but to Christians as a whole, to each one of us. Little did Peter know that his letter was going to survive over 1900 years later. Think about that. If you were to write a letter to your friend, do you think it would live 1900 years? Yeah, I wouldn't think so. But Peter wasn't aware of that. His letter lived over 1900 years. It's approaching 2000 years right now. And not only does he write this letter down, these reminders, but he also helped establish the church. So that way we have more reminders by fellow Christians, by fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So we always have a constant reminder of why we're saved, what Jesus did, why he went to the cross, how he defeated death, how not even death could hold him, why we suffer persecution. Why do we have to defend our faith? People are going to make fun of you because you are Christians, because you love God. People will despise you because of it. But he's saying you got to stand up for your faith. Remember the theme of 2 Peter. Who knows what it is? I said it earlier. Poison in the pew. Remember that. It's only two more chapters. And it's going to make sense. The rest of this book is going to make perfect sense to you if you remember the theme of 2 Peter. Poison in the pew. Or think pew poison. Yeah, that was lame. Never mind. Okay. So if we constantly have a reminder, if we constantly remember these things, you're more likely to do it, right? Sweet. And just like our stomach's constantly reminding us that we need to eat, the same is spiritually as well. We need to add to our faith. We need to grow so that we become stronger and more solid, so that we're not falling back into the ways of the world, into the darkness, into the pits of hell. That we don't become blind, that we shine like a bright light in the dark, that we're just glorifying God, and that we could defend the faith, that we could live godly, and that when people see us, each one of you, when people see you, all of you guys, that they see God. Cool. So I'm going to challenge you guys to this. I'm almost done. One second. So add to your faith. Grow, guys. That's why I gave you the challenge of reading one chapter a day for this week. Are you guys up for that challenge? Cool. One chapter. Try James. Easy book. Cool? Let's go ahead and close up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this teaching, this worship time, God, this service. God, we just ask, Lord, that you just take these words, just man them to our heart. Lord, let us accept the challenge. Let us grow. Let us desire to be more like you in this of the world, Lord. Fill us with righteousness and your Holy Spirit, God, and don't stop at the rim, Lord. Fill us with a great abundance of an overflow. Lord, we ask that you guide us and protect us throughout the day, Lord. And I ask that that if anyone doesn't know you, God, that they may come to know you today, for tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow, any one of us could die. God, I pray that they may make the decision today. God, we lift up this day, Lord, and we thank you. Let us be a light in this darkened world, Lord, and lift you up in your name. Amen. If you guys need prayer, if you guys haven't come to know Christ.